So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Kamala! Kamala. Get your Kamala Namala merch at StuDoesMerch.com. Do it today. Get it ready for the election. Stu 10 is the way you save 10% on that, by the way. Follow us on YouTube. You can save 100% on YouTube because it's all free. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We've got this show, comedy skits, live story reaction. We're going live like all the time throughout the election. You're missing out a ton of content if you're not following the YouTube page. Hit the bell and you'll get notifications anytime. We're really close to 100,000 subscribers on the YouTube page. And I want to get there because I like round numbers. So please go there and click follow on that page and do your part to get me to the round number that makes my mind feel better. Justin Haskins is here to give his take on the week's big debate and so much more. Some election stuff in there as well when it comes to how we're voting. The mainstream media is still working overtime to push a false abortion narrative. I'll set the record straight on what's going on there. But we're going to start by doing the Swift Mahomes effect. Yes, the Swift Mahomes effect. What does that mean? How does it factor into this year's election? Let's get into it. By the way, Kamala Harris still hasn't given an interview, at least by herself. She's given one with RuPaul, and then she got interviewed by her own vice presidential candidate. And then she brought that same vice presidential candidate on the road to get interviewed once in a dual interview, a buddy interview. But it's been 77 days now without a solo interview from Kamala Harris. 77 freaking days. 77 days. How is this? I honestly cannot believe we've been doing this for a while. Cannot believe it got this high. I can't even believe it. Is she going to do another one? No one even seems to be pressing her on it anymore. This one interview she did with Dan. All right, I got to move on. I'm never going to get to all this. Taylor Swift has endorsed Kamala Harris. Woo! Now, if you're wondering, hey, why? First of all, we all knew she was a liberal. She, you know, there's no question about that. There's no question about who she was going to endorse in this race. Why did she do it? Well, she says that Tim Walz was a big reason. He's been standing up for LGBTQIA2+ rights, IVF, and a woman's right to her own body for decades. There's no way she knew who Tim Walz was last week or last month. So the fact that he's been doing it for decades really means nothing to her. But she's got a cat in the photo, which is really nice. IVF is a hilarious one to mention, given that Donald Trump is literally breaking every conservative foundational viewpoint to just give away IVF to every person in America that wants it. That's how pro-IVF he seems to be. But no one facts checked that. There's no fact checked on that one during the debate. By the way, this is the way apparently liberty dies, not with thunderous applause, but with a Taylor Swift endorsement. I don't know. Is it really going to make a difference? I will say, what kind of fan base does she have? Are there a lot of voters in that fan base? Now, look, she's been around a long time. So a lot of the people who were kids when she first started are now adults, and a lot of them do vote. There's a lot of Taylor Swift type dads. Get dragged by their kids to concerts. Now, I've never been to a Taylor Swift concert myself. However, what I will say about that is if she comes around, my daughter's going to want to go. She's totally a big Swiftie, but her voting record is terrible. She never even showed up. She's 11. So I don't think she's going to be voting for a little while now. So I don't think that's her fault. But I will say I don't think she would also be influenced by Taylor Swift's endorsement. You know, we go to celebrities for their music, for their creativity, for their artistry, for their athletic ability. We don't go for them to tell us about political advice. Now, you can take it if you want. You can take their endorsement. Maybe it's important. I don't know. But if Taylor Swift came out tomorrow and endorsed Donald Trump, would that win him the election? I don't think so. Remember, the last time she endorsed a politician was the opponent of Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee. And of course, I can rattle off the name of that opponent from memory. No, I can't. Why? Because whoever that was lost. In her home state, by the way, got defeated. And Marsha Blackburn, a very conservative female candidate, wound up winning the Senate seat. Beyond all of this, whether it matters or not, the timing is suboptimal for the Kamala Harris campaign. Why? Well, she announced it like late night after the debate. Now, everyone is, you know, watching the debate, and then you have this period where most people seem to think that Kamala won. So you have this sort of afterglow of a victory in a debate, and then she kind of throws this in there in the middle of that afterglow, and they lose a news cycle out of it. Like, if they have waited until, you know, tonight or tomorrow, as the afterglow of the debate sort of fades down, they probably get a whole nother news cycle out of this, which makes me think maybe she didn't coordinate this with the campaign. Maybe she just decided to post it on her own, which is interesting. I will say it would have been more effective if she waited till like next week. That being said, I wonder if maybe it was arranged just in case the debate didn't go well, right? Like, they're thinking, hey, let's line up this Taylor Swift thing. If Kamala kind of blows it here, we'll overwhelm that with the big Taylor Swift news cycle. Either way, I don't think it was particularly effective. They are selling merch, or at least, you know, raising funds through merch because of this. Harris-Wallace campaign sells out of new Taylor Swift-inspired merch after endorsement. Are you ready for it? That's a song that she did at one point. Reads a message alongside a product description of the bracelets at KamalaHarris.com and an apparent nod to Swift 2017 song, Ready For It. By the way, my Swifty daughter was 4 when that song came out. How is she? Swifty? I don't know. Just the way it works. Ready For It. Harris Walls friendship bracelets have hit the store. Now, what does that have to do with Taylor Swift? I mean, I know the song title, but is she a big friendship bracelet person? Maybe she is. I don't know. Harris Walls spelled out in white beads. I don't know. That's kind of creepy. But there it is. Here's a picture of them, by the way, in case you want to get some. Sorry, you can't. That item that cost 12 cents is and is probably selling for $40 is no longer available. I guess you're supposed to like Taylor Swift if you're a Democrat. Now that she's made the right decision and endorsed the right candidate, it's okay to like her. Now, apparently, it's interesting because we know that Oprah was at the DNC. She's the right kind of billionaire. Apparently, Taylor Swift is also the right kind of billionaire. Not all billionaires are created equal, as Scott Jennings pointed out.
I'm a free market guy, and I think people ought to be able to make money. But it was the Democratic convention that featured numerous speakers saying and have numerous people who believe that inherently billionaires must have done something bad or immoral or wrong or unethical to become billionaires. But when they come along and they are of some political value, it's fine. But if a billionaire, say, supports a Republican, it's not fine. I'm just asking, what's the right kind of rich person?
It's a really good point. They love billionaires when they donate to them. But then you get Bernie Sanders up there going, the millionaires and billionaires. Of course, he's also a millionaire. Millionaires and billionaires. That's supposed to mean something automatically bad. Just quickly, let me point this out. Being a billionaire is generally good. Generally good. It's not always good. You know, George Soros is a billionaire. I'm not a fan of George Soros. There's lots of billionaires I don't like. But being a billionaire generally means you've accomplished something. Generally means you've done something that's positive for the world. Generally means you're providing a service that other people need. That's generally speaking how it goes. And you might say, well, not every single person. Let me give you these examples. It's possible, right? There are some. You might not like the way they made their money, for example. But, you know, you can get to be a millionaire by, like, inheriting something from your billionaire dad. It's kind of hard to be a billionaire kid. You know, Nepo babies, not typically billionaires. Now, there are some exceptions to that. But generally speaking, you've done something. You know, are some billionaires psychopaths? Sure. So are some, you know, really poor crack addicted poor people, right? Like, every level of income throughout the spectrum has weirdos in it. And sometimes billionaires get to be really freaking weird with their money. That's true. But generally speaking, just because you've accomplished something really incredible in your life and you have lots of money isn't a bad thing. That's just a full stop. It's generally speaking, an indicator of positive action.
I know it's a crazy thing to have. By the way, some billionaires are a little quirky. And I don't know what to make of this Elon Musk tweet. Fine, Taylor, you win. I will give you a child and guard your cats with my life. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that means. Frankly, it's very, very strange. Now, J.D. Vance has come out and he's downplayed the impact of disconnected Taylor Swift's endorsement. He says, well, look, we admire Taylor Swift's music, but we is, a generalized term. We admire Taylor Swift's music, but I don't think most Americans, whether they like our music or fans of hers or not, are going to be influenced by a billionaire celebrity who I think is fundamentally disconnected from the interests and problems of most Americans, Vance told Fox News anchor Martha McCallum on Wednesday. Look, when grocery stores prices go up by 20%, it hurts most Americans. It doesn't hurt Taylor Swift, he continued. When housing prices become unaffordable, it doesn't affect Taylor Swift or any other billionaire. It does affect the most middle-class Americans all over our country. Now, of course, a lot of people pointed out that the presidential candidate he's running with is a celebrity billionaire. But the point, I think, generally speaking, stands. Endorsements of anybody, I don't think, really make much difference. People overplay them all the time. And that's one of the reasons, just one of the many reasons, why it doesn't really make much sense to do them if you're a celebrity. By the way, the GSA is saying now 337,000 Taylor Swift referrals have come to vote.gov because she had a link in there to vote.gov. More than 330,000 visitors have flocked to vote.gov by way of pop superstar Taylor Swift's post-debate endorsement of Vice President Harris. How many followers does she have? Do we know? A GSA spokesperson said 337,826 visitors had been referred to the voter information website through Swift's custom link as of 2 p.m. on Wednesday, not even 24 hours after the debate or her endorsement. Any ideas? I mean, what, 100 million? I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm not a follower of hers. But I will say there is an update to this number. Now it's over 405,999 referred directly from Taylor Swift's account. Can I just point out something here for a second? That literally means nothing. Why are they reporting that? Now, who cares how many people she sent to vote.gov? Let me give you one person who clicked on vote.gov. My producer, when he was setting up this story. That's one of the 405,000. Probably every journalist that you've ever heard reporting this has clicked on it. Who God knows how many times. She's got 100 million followers and 400,000 of them have clicked this link. And remember, what they want you to take from this information is she's registering scores of voters. Well, my producer's already registered to vote. So are all the journalists clicking on the link. How many people actually got registered to vote through these links? Now, they have that information. Why aren't they releasing that? And by the way, I hate to break this to you. This is a sad, sad thing. But most of the people who register to vote, it doesn't really matter. It matters for the presidential race solely if they are in one of seven states. Okay, it doesn't really matter. So how many people has she referred in North Carolina, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania? Did I get them all? Seven. Yeah, seven. This is seven of them that matter. What? I mean, is it more than 25? I mean this seriously. Is it more than 25 voters in those seven states? Why aren't they releasing that number? Because the number is nothing. It means nothing that 300,000 or 400,000 people have clicked on the link in her Instagram post. Oh, God, it's just so ridiculous. Okay, let me go another direction now. Now, that's one way you can go. You can have millions and millions of fans. Now, remember, she started in country, right? Millions and millions of fans. Many of them are conservatives that love her music. You can go out there and say, oh, yeah, well, that half of my that half of people that are fans of mine, they're all people who hate LGBTQ rights. They're all people who don't like IVF and don't want women to have control of their own bodies, which, of course, has nothing to do with the debate over the topic. But I leave that alone for just a moment. The issue here is, why do this to your audience? If your audience loves you, why punch them in the face over and over and over and over again like these celebrities do? Let me give you another approach. Donald Trump was on Fox News and was asked about Taylor Swift's endorsement. Here's what he had to say.
Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris. What do you think?
Well, I actually like Mrs. I actually like Mrs. Mahomes much better, if you want to know the truth. She's a big Trump fan. I was not a Taylor Swift fan. It was just a question of time. But no, I like Brittany. I think Brittany's great. Brittany was got a lot of news last week. She's a big MAGA fan. That's mm-hmm. the one I like much better than Taylor Swift.
There you go. Trump likes that. Now, Brittany Mahomes, I mean, she's a celebrity. I mean, she's an influencer of sorts, but really, you know, mostly known for being married to, of course, Patrick Mahomes. And, of course, the question became immediately, basically, well, what does Patrick Mahomes think? What does he have to say? Now, you can answer this question a couple of ways. You can say, look, I'm with Donald Trump 100%. I'm with my wife. We're aligned on this. You can do that. Absolutely. Fine. Would it influence some people? Maybe. Maybe you could also say, I think my wife is wrong. Love her to death. But like, come on, this is crazy. Kamala Harris is the one. Would that influence some people? I don't know. Maybe a few. I don't know. Or you could do something like this. Watch.
Former President Trump referenced you and your family again today on Fox News in relation to his campaign. I just wonder what your reaction is to seeing that.
Yeah, I think I've always said I don't want my place and my platform to be used to endorse a candidate or do whatever. Either way, I think my place is to inform people to get registered to vote. It's to inform people to do their own research and then make their best decision for them and their family. And so I think that's every time I'm on this stage and I get asked these questions, I'm gonna refer back to that because I think that's what makes America so great.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to be doing this. We go to sports, we go to music, we go to movies to escape the real world. Now, these are individuals with the absolute right to endorse whatever candidate they want. They can be smart or stupid. They can endorse them, you know, for reasons that don't make any sense, as we see in the case of Taylor Swift. That's absolutely fine. They can all do that. They deserve the right to be able to do that. They shouldn't be stopped from doing that by any means. This is America. But like, Patrick Mahomes is doing it right. Just come out and just be like, look, I'm a football player. I want to do these things. I want to get people out to vote, fine. But I don't want to be divisive. I want people to appreciate the sport, and I don't need to get in the middle of that. Now, Caitlin Clark is another athlete. She got a lot of, she was on the Taylor Swift page, and she clicked like when she saw the endorsement. I was like, oh my gosh, Caitlin Clark reveals why she liked Taylor Swift's post endorsing Kamala Harris. Everyone got all in a fervor about that. And then they asked her, say, hey, what'd you do? What'd you mean when you did that? She says, I think for myself, I have this amazing platform. So I think the biggest thing would be to encourage people to register to vote. And I think for myself, this is the second time I can vote in an election at age 22. I could vote when I was 18. So I think, you know, do that. That's the biggest thing that I can do with the platform that I have. And that's the same thing Taylor did. Not exactly the same thing, but I digress. And I think to continue to educate yourself with the candidates that we have, the policies that they're supporting, I think that's the biggest thing you can do. And that's what I would recommend every single person that has the opportunity in our country. Now, I definitely agree with her on that. You should definitely take the time to educate yourself. If you don't take that time, maybe skip the voting because you probably don't know what the heck you're talking about. But if you're taking the time to look at these issues and have an opinion on them, great, go out and vote. You don't need to rock the vote. Just because someone tells you to rock the vote, learn, then vote. The order is important here. Learn, then vote. Okay, please remember that for the future. But Patrick Mahomes is doing it right. You know, his wife is much more politically active. She's known for that political activism. That's kind of what people want from his wife. It's not necessarily what they want from Taylor Swift. What they want are songs about, you know, breaking up or something. And it's funny because you see, and this is an interesting part of this, in this Swift Mahomes effect. The left is much more outspoken about this. And I think my preference would be that everybody is just like, chill on it. Let people make their own freaking decisions. I don't come to you for this type of information. I come to you for other things. You're really good at X, Y, and Z. But Patrick Mahomes, I mean, this is a guy I'm speaking positively about. He beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I will never fully forgive him for that. But like, it is something that should be, I think, promoted, that you just stay out of this stuff. You know, the old Michael Jordan, Republicans buy sneakers too, is not something to be embarrassed about. It's something to be proud of. Something that says, hey, maybe I'm above this a little bit. Maybe I'm somebody who can actually rise above politics, unlike everybody else that gets caught up in it. Maybe I'm somebody who can say, you know what? I actually can get along with people who don't agree with every one of my political positions. I don't know. The people I talk to in real life, are fine with that. Yeah, they can get annoyed at their friends when they have dumb opinions. But generally speaking, if you have an opinion that if somebody disagrees with you on something, you just deal with it and you move on. Maybe you don't talk about that thing next time. That seems to be the right way to do it. Unfortunately, we're encouraging people to go the opposite way and make fools of themselves about issues that they don't even understand. And these parties will do everything they can to take advantage of you, Taylor. They're coming to you not because they think you're smart or understand these issues. They know you don't. They're coming to you because they want to sell stupid friendship bracelets. That's what you are to them. You are a way to line their pockets. Unfortunately, way, way too many people with gigantic audiences just don't realize that. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. I freaking love Prize Picks. I'll be honest with you. I've been on it for a long time, and I'm happy that they're on the show so I can talk to you about it, because all you got to do is pick more or less, just more or less on a player and their stat category, 2 to 6 players. You watch their projections, you go more or less, and then you watch the winnings roll in. It is the most fun and exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports. And players' easiest, the easiest way really to, I think, be able to do this. I mean, we're talking daily fantasy sports. It can be really hard. A lot of times you're playing against these experts that are playing all the time. Not with Prize Picks. It's just you against the numbers. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Can you go 4 for 4? 100 times your money? That's pretty sweet. Prize Picks puts their members first with withdrawals, fast, safe, and secure. When I want to withdraw money out of my Prize Pick accounts, because I win all the time. It's true, pretty much. When I hit, I can get my money out in like 15 minutes. And I was looking at this because there's a game tonight. And I went on there and I've got three tonight. I've got Keon Coleman over 3.5 receptions. There's a Bills Miami game tonight. Josh Allen over 35.5 rushing yards. Jeffrey Wilson over 0.5 rushing touchdowns. Wait a minute. I got to add on Tyreek Hill on that, too, because Tyreek Hill's all pissed off. Getting pulled over, so he's going to be incredible for a couple of weeks. Maybe I didn't agree with him on his take on getting pulled over, but it doesn't matter because Prize Picks doesn't care about that. What they care about is Stu Sports is the code. You give them that code. You're going to care about this, too, because $5, you play $5, you get $50 instantly. The code is Stu Sports on the Prize Pick app. By the way, when you do that, you get $50 instantly when you play only $5. You don't even have to win to receive that money. It's $50 bonus guaranteed. So check it out. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Rock.
I want to bring in Justin Haskins, Senior Fellow for the Heartland Institute and co-author of Dark Future, Uncovering the Great Reset's Terrifying Next Phase, which is available now wherever you get your books. Justin, how's it going?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Great to be back.
Appreciate it. I want to talk about a little update on the book front here in a couple of minutes before you go. But let me start with a debate, because you watched it. It was an interesting, interesting 90 minutes. What did you think?
So it's funny. So I watched it after everybody else I know watched it.
Oh, really?
Just because of I'm on the West Coast and it's hard to time that. And I actually thought it went much worse for Donald Trump than most people.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I just thought it was not good at all. And I'm a policy guy.
Yes.
So this was very frustrating.
This entire campaign's got to be really frustrating for you and me.
It's horrible.
I want to talk about policy every day, and I get the sense. I mean, I just did a monologue on Taylor Swift. Like, I get the sense at times that not everyone is with me on that, so I got to mix it up a little bit. But yeah, there was not a ton of policy there.
No, it was almost no policy, and some really easy home runs for Trump that were just avoided entirely. I don't know why he never brought up the fact that Kamala Harris is a huge fan of having biological men you know, punch right. women in the face. I don't know why he didn't bring that up. That seems in like sporting events yeah. is what I mean.
Yes.
But I don't know why he didn't bring that up. Why yeah. didn't he ask that question? I thought that was strange.
Amazingly, that wasn't even mentioned by the moderator.
It was never talked about. It was as though it's not even a thing, mm-hmm. you know? And then there were just so many lies from Kamala Harris, and Trump has this tendency to meander and get easily caught up in something that isn't really all that important, like the size of rallies and things like that. But then he ignores things like when Kamala Harris said, your tax cuts only benefited the wealthy people. That's right. it. And he just kind of ignored that as if it was yeah. true when it obviously is not true.
But he made sure to point out, no, my rallies are very well attended.
Yes,
like why
exactly,
are you pushing back on that?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was
so I will say that. I did not think it was a good performance for him. I thought it was really unfair. The moderators yep. were horrible. Everybody knows that. And so I don't think either of them are particularly good debaters. So I think that factors into it as well. But it seems like in the reaction to this, people were not as fooled by Kamala Harris's performance as I thought they might be. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because ultimately things are terrible for a lot of people. And they want some kind of, give me a reason to believe. See, Donald Trump doesn't offer any specific policies for people, but he had 4 years as president where things, for the most part, went pretty well. And so he can just say, remember how things used to be better? All the things I did, I can do those things again. Things yeah. will be better again. And it's like a summation of, you can trust that.
Yep.
But things have been bad for 3.5 years for people. And so when Kamala Harris can't do that, and then when she offers no specifics on top of it, I think a lot of people are like, well, why should I believe things are gonna get better? You're the same as the guy who's, you know, meandering around the White House or the beach or wherever he is.
Right.
Right? And you're not offering me any specifics to believe it, and I just don't think they're falling for it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be as effective as I thought it was when I was watching it.
Yeah, I think too there's just not a lot of movement, right? There's only a few percent of right. people who are even thinking about changing their minds at this point. After the debate, one of the stations went to like a panel of voters, and they talked to one woman who is a Trump supporter, and she said, you know, this is a really unique opportunity for us because for the first time really that I can ever remember, both of these guys have already done this, right? Like one of them was president, one of them was vice president. Which one did you prefer? And I was like, how is that not his opening statement?
Great point.
It's exactly what he should have been saying the entire time. And he did get to it at the closing statement, but it wasn't. And maybe it took so long. I thought the biggest moment of the debate was at one point, she was asked about policy. There was one policy question. Hey, you flip-flopped on this. Yep. You flip-flopped on this. I flip-flopped on this.
That was the hardest question she got.
Yep. And what did she do? She didn't mention, I think it was this question. She didn't answer it at all. She just said, you know what? I'm going to encourage people to go to your rallies. I want people to go to Donald Trump's rallies. Then it went back to Trump. He's like, I have big rallies. And that was the end of it. We never got back to any policy questions. I mean, do you give Kamala Harris credit for that? Or is it just, you know, blame the moderators for not following up and blame Donald Trump for not nailing that one.
Yeah. Well, you can blame the moderators easily,
yes.
but you know, it was horribly biased, but Kamala Harris's strategy I thought was effective in that she came to lie. And she lied, and she did it well enough. And she had the moderators on her side. They're not going to fact check her, interrupt her, force her to answer questions, but they are going to do it to him. So it makes it look like he's dodging things when he is. And it doesn't look like that with her. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's up to Trump in that moment to step up and say, no, answer the question. And he did try to do it on some things like the abortion thing. He
yeah.
pointed out that, hey, what is your position on
and
8 months of abortion.
They never followed
up with it. But if I was him, I would have just kept going back
yep.
to that. And so made her
I would start making a
question.
List.
Yep.
She didn't answer this question. She didn't answer this question. She didn't answer
yeah.
this question. Okay, let me answer your last one.
Right.
Because that needed to be noted. All right, let me switch gears a little bit and go to this election coming up. And elections all in our future. There's a concept out there called ranked choice voting. And this, I remember off the top of my head, Maine and Alaska have it. There's a lot of places that are pushing for various versions of it. It's in some municipalities. Mm-hmm. And the way it basically works is you can write down, like if there's 5 candidates, you can rank them 1 through 5. So if you want a candidate that maybe, it kind of eliminates, the theory is, on the positive side, it eliminates the idea of I'm going to waste my vote. Because let's say you like the Libertarian candidate better. You could put them number one, and you could put Donald Trump number two. And then when the Libertarian is knocked out, those votes would go, instead of to the Libertarian candidate, they would go to Donald Trump or a Republican. And so there's parts of it I actually like, but you have been really looking into this, and there's some real problems with it as well.
Yeah, so the idea is somebody has to get more than 50% of the votes through multiple rounds of voting. So either first, second, third round preferences, you add them all up, they got to get to at least the 50% mark, right? The problem with ranked choice voting is there's a few different issues. The first is it's essentially some people get to vote twice and other people don't get to vote twice. Mm. And you don't really think of it that way, but let's say you have an election, it's Kamala Harris and it's Donald Trump, and you vote for the third party candidate. You vote for Jill Stein or something. And Jill Stein automatically gets eliminated. Mm-hmm. And so now your second preference person is the person who ultimately you're reassigned to, mm-hmm. right? You've voted twice, essentially. You got to vote for Jill Stein, and now you're getting to vote for Kamala Harris or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just put Donald Trump or Kamala Harris at the top, you only vote once. So inherently, that's kind of weird, I thought.
It's kind of weird, I will say.
A loser candidate, you get to vote a second time?
Yeah, but I mean, in reality, like, it does let you give that It's your actual preference. I think the most of the people who wind up voting for a third party are people that probably wouldn't, right? Like if you're going to vote the Libertarian candidate, mm-hmm. you might have probably said, well, actually, I'm not going to vote for them because I'm going to waste my vote. So instead, I'll throw that to Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. And then, you wind up the Libertarian gets no attention at all. But there's more to it than just that.
There is, yeah. So in addition to that issue that I have with it, it's also sort of a deceptive way to get you, a person who doesn't want to vote for one of the main two candidates, let's say, right, to feel more encouraged about voting generally, mm-hmm. right? Because, now I get to go vote for my third party candidate, but I don't get to waste my vote.
Right.
But in reality, you're going to be reassigned to one of the top two people.
Yeah.
So it's a way to get people who are disillusioned with the top two people mm-hmm. to vote for one of the top two people, even though they don't want to.
Right.
There is no protest vote. Yeah. You don't get to say, I'm only voting for Jill Stein. Mm. Because if you only vote for Jill Stein, what happens is they throw your ballot in the trash.
Right. So you are wasting your vote.
So you are wasting your vote,
which is
an option.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's an option. Mm-hmm. The other issue is they're only selectively pushing it in places where it benefits the left.
Yes, that's very true.
Yes.
I've noticed this. This is not like a thing that's like, hey, let's get people more choices. It's like, hey, how do we game the system to get Democrats elected?
Correct.
And that I have a real problem with. I've noticed that particularly in Alaska, because it's not a straight setup. It's not ranked choice voting. It's like, well, four people go through a jungle primary, and like they know in Alaska, you're gonna get two of them are gonna be Republicans.
Correct.
They're gonna split the vote, and then the Democrats gonna wind up winning, which is what happened in the House.
Yes. And so in a bunch of states where they're pushing for this, they almost always combine the two.
Yeah.
So what they do is they do something called open primaries, where you don't have a Republican primary and a Democrat primary. You lump them all into one primary day. You go out and you vote, and the top four or five or however many candidates end up on the ballot, even if you have two Republicans and one Democrat, or three Republicans and one Democrat, or three Democrats and one Republican, or whatever.
Yeah.
So they combine that with ranked choice voting. And essentially what that does is, if you're a Democrat in a deep red state, you're going to go and you're going to pick the Democrat as your top candidate. That person has no chance of winning. Mm-hmm. So then what you're going to do is you're going to rank as your second candidate the least objectionable Republican possible, the mm-hmm. most liberal Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a group of moderate Republicans who want that Republican.
Right.
They want the Lisa Murkowski type Republican. Mm-hmm. So they pick that person as their top candidate. The combination of those two usually trumps whatever the conservative mm-hmm. candidate will get.
Mm-hmm.
So in Alaska, that's exactly how it's played out.
Yeah.
And in fact, in some cases, Democrats end up winning in these deep red states purely because the moderate Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Liz Cheney type Republican would rather put on a Democrat as their second preference than a conservative Republican. So there was a congressional race in Alaska, I think it was in 2022, where the Republicans at the top of the ticket combined got 60% of the vote,
mm-hmm.
but the Democrat ended up winning.
Right.
Because of these second preferences and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And so if they were doing it everywhere equally, then yeah, it would kind of work out in some places. It would work better for Republicans, some places work out for Democrats, but they don't. Mm. And the other telltale sign that you know there's something weird going on here is in some states, they're adding in all these weird exceptions. So for example, one of the blue states where they're doing this is in Oregon. They're pushing this in Oregon. So why would they do this in Oregon?
Yeah.
Right? It might help Republicans.
Right.
Well, what they decided to do was they're going to do it for state office, for governor and for statewide offices and also for congressional campaigns and stuff like that, but not for state legislative seats. They're going to exclude them. That's normal voting.
Right.
So why?
Why?
Because they're winning. They're doing fine there.
Right.
So they
right.
don't want to mess with that.
Of course.
But just recently, they had a gubernatorial race in Oregon that was a big deal for them because the Republican people thought had a really good chance of sneaking in because there was a really popular third party candidate who mm-hmm. got like 10 or so percentage points of the vote. So what they wanted to do is to make sure that would never happen mm-hmm. where a Republican might win with 40% of the vote. So now those 10% people that would rather not vote for the Democrat get reassigned ultimately to the Democrat anyway, and the Republican loses.
Yeah.
Now, this is exactly why they did it in Maine, ultimately. Maine was electing a Republican governor over and over and over again.
LePage
with a minority of the vote, because they had a really popular independent candidate, and the independent and the Democrat were splitting the vote. Mm-hmm. So they realized, well, if we do this ranked choice voting thing, we'll easily win. And ever since they did that, they have easily won. And so you end up in these weird situations where the candidate who gets the most first preference votes ends up losing because the third party candidate voters end up getting reassigned to a different candidate.
Yeah.
And it
winds up being like
strange.
A big game theory thing, which is not really how you really should just be thinking about who you want to vote for.
Right.
So I think there's real problems with it, especially when it's combined with a jungle primary. I think that in particular, especially when they target red states with it.
Correct.
Because what happens, and this happened in Alaska, I can't remember the two candidates. One was it Begich and Sarah Palin.
Yep.
They both ran for the seat, and like a bunch of Republicans in Alaska who would definitely vote Republican. They can't stand Sarah Palin. They're sick of her. They don't want her. They will not vote for her under any circumstance. Those two fought a lot against each other. So both of their sides hated each other. And they're like, I'd rather have the Democrat. And then the Democrat wins.
Right.
So there are real problems with it. I'd like to see some version of it that would allow these third parties to get a little bit of attention, to get a little bit of, to qualify for the ballots more easily and things like that. There's some positives I like with it, but there's massive problems. And you see, there's a lot of like Soros money going
right.
in to fund this too.
Oh, there's
real quick,
tons
we got about
of Soros money. Yeah. Soros money going to it. And the last thing that I would add is like, it's actually, you could make the argument easier for a third party candidate to win under the current system than it is under that system.
Mm.
Because for the third party candidate to win under ranked choice voting, they got to get over 50% of voters to pick them one or two, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But under the current system, you could have a situation where some third party candidates, never happens, of course, with 30 something percent of the vote ends up winning. And so you only need 30% of people to choose you. 67% could hate you and
right.
you can still win.
Right.
But under the ranked choice model, it's not possible.
All right. Justin Haskins, senior fellow at the Heartland Institute. Before you go, you got a new book coming out. Can this be announced now?
Yeah. We're announcing it today. It's called Propaganda Wars. Glenn Beck and I have put this book together. It's an absolutely incredible investigation into where propaganda comes from, who are the major players behind it, how everyday people are being manipulated in ways that they have absolutely no clue is going on. We talk about all kinds of crazy election propaganda, foreign manipulation of elections, deep fakes in elections, stuff that I guarantee most people have never heard of, and how you can fight back against it, how you can get involved in that fight and understand what is true and what isn't true. A step-by-step guide that helps walk people through that. Coming out on October 22nd, just in time for the election, a little too just in time for the election.
Yeah,
I think, but
kinda close there.
We are kinda close, but it is the perfect book to buy and read right in the midst of what probably will be the biggest propaganda event all time in American history anyway.
Where should people go to get the details?
They can go to Amazon.com and pre-order it now, or Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever they get their books.
And probably it's up on glenbeck.com, I assume, as well.
I don't know.
Check there as well. Justin Haskins, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Stu.
imagine for a moment that you're about to make the biggest financial decision most people make in their lives, either buying or selling a home, or, you know, probably both. What happens when you're doing that? Well, would you like to have some help? Not just any help, but like help from the best people available. Imagine what it would be like to not have to worry about whether you were going to find the right contractors or whether to do certain repair work or have the right photographer to stage the house or, you know, the right mortgage company. The right everybody you will need to make this happen can be done if you have the right real estate agent, and you can find that now. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. They'll pair you with the best real estate agent in your area, no matter where you live. Check it out. Get somebody who really knows what they're doing. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you got to have this. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. The name says it all. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. A free service to you. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knete ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Lebara ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd. Lebara, deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
The New York Times is fact-checking Donald Trump's claims. They say Trump's playbook on abortion includes this false charge. What is the false charge? Well, Donald Trump said that they were going to execute the baby after it was born. Now, as they pointed out, just like the fact-checkers on the New York Times, or during the debate, the New York Times echoes this. They say there is no state in the country where it is legal to kill a baby after it is born. They go on to say, they go on to actually mention the Ralph Northam quote where he said, the infant would be delivered, listen to this closely, the infant would be delivered, the infant would be kept comfortable, the infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. So you'll save the baby's life if the family desires it. That's how we deal with human life. Then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. The New York Times says that abortion activists portrayed that comment as condoning the murder of an infant, which it just was. That's exactly what they were doing. This is happening, by the way. There are reports that this happens about 300 or 400 times a year. It's not the high portion of the percentage of the abortions in this country, sadly, because that means there's millions of them happening, but does happen a bunch of times per year. Republicans across the country echoed the attack, leaving Democrats to struggle to combat a wave of false assertions. And they say that this has to do with religious people thinking life begins at conception. This is such a ridiculous argument. This is like saying, well, Trump said that Democrats are running babies over with their cars. And that claim is false. Actually, what Democrats are doing is just allowing babies to crawl across I-95 in Philadelphia at rush hour and not helping them. But that's not murder. They're just not stopping the death. That's not the same as... Guys, this is real. It does happen. It's not the most common thing in the world, but it doesn't matter if it's the most common thing in the world. We try to stop lots of things that are really bad and uncommon. We should try and stop this. So you have a teenager? I actually do. I have a 13-year-old now. That is insane to think about. I can't believe that. Now, if you have a teen that, and this is, I can relate to this. If you have a teen that comes home after school and is just like, I don't have anything to do. Can I get on my iPad? No. How about having them do something good on their computer for once? There's a new six-week life and career skills course from Praxis, and this might just be what you need. For the past decade, Praxis has been helping nearly 1,000 homeschoolers and recent high school graduates launch their careers without college through their mentorship program. And now they're bringing their expertise to teens with the new course, Discover. Discover is a six-week self-paced course designed to equip teens with essential life and career skills, like, I don't know, building a professional network, making money by creating value, developing a vision for the future, things that you really should definitely be learning in school, but they never teach you. Plus, it includes a coaching call, a free resume review, and a copy of the book, Don't Do Stuff You Hate, which is pretty good advice. advice. Now for a limited time, they're offering listeners of our show 50% off the course. That's a big savings. Use the promo code STU50 at checkout. Get over $300 off. Visit discoverpraxis.com, discoverpraxis.com/blaze today. You'll learn more. Don't miss it. discoverpraxis.com/blaze. Before I get out of here, I want to take a minute just to let you know, if you ever wanted to be a member of Blaze TV, and we would love to have you, now's a great time. BlazeTV.com/stu is the place to go. But when you go there, use the code STU40 because they got $40 off right now. $40 off. The code is STU40 at BlazeTV.com/stu.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons. Oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.